I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Is committed to bringing you the stories and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. From the peace activists demanding an end to war, to indigenous leaders fighting to stop fossil fuel extraction and save the planet. Our independent reporting is only possible because we're funded by you, not by the weapons manufacturers when we cover war or gun violence, not by the oil, gas, coal, or nuclear companies when we cover the climate crisis. We count on your generous support to keep Democracy Now! Going. Please make your donation of $5, $10, or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar counts. Thank you so much. We're counting on you. Stay safe. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
President Trump's own campaign advisors, his Department of Justice, and his cybersecurity experts all told him the same thing. Here, for example, is White House lawyer Eric Hirschman. His view was shared by many of the Trump team whom we interviewed.
I thought the Dominion stuff was... I never saw any evidence whatsoever to sustain those allegations.
And I was somewhat demoralized because I thought, boy, if he really believes this stuff, he has, you know, lost contact he's become detached from reality if he really believes this stuff.
The big lie was also a big ripoff. The former president laid the groundwork for these false claims well in advance of the election, as early as April 2020.
Today, highlights from the second public hearing of the House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol. The main witnesses were from former President Trump's inner circle, including former Attorney General William Barr, Trump's lawyers, and his former campaign manager Bill Stepien. The committee also laid out how Trump used lies about election fraud to raise $250 million from his supporters for an election defense fund that didn't exist. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The House Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection held its second public hearing Monday. Video testimony was aired of numerous Trump White House insiders saying there was no basis to Donald Trump's claims the election was stolen. Former Attorney General William Barr said Trump was, quote, detached from reality for refusing to accept his election loss. The committee also revealed Trump heavily relied on far-fetched claims by his lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, who was reportedly drunk on election night when he pushed Trump to falsely claim victory. The House panel also examined how Trump's campaign raked in over $250 million in donations from his supporters after the election for an election defense fund that did not exist. This is committee member, Congressmember Zoe Lofgren.
Throughout the committee's investigation, we found evidence that the Trump campaign and its surrogates misled donors as to where their funds would go and what they would be used for. So not only was there the big lie, there was the big ripoff.
We'll spend the rest of the show after headlines on the January 6th hearing, and Democracy Now! Is live streaming all these hearings live at democracynow.org. The next one is Wednesday morning at 10 Eastern. It's primary day in Maine, Nevada, North Dakota, and South Carolina. In Nevada, Republican voters will be deciding who will challenge Democratic Senator Catherine Cortez Masto in November, in a race that could decide who controls the Senate. The Republican Senate race pits former Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt against retired Army Captain Sam Brown. Laxalt's a close ally of Donald Trump, who supported Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. A number of other Republicans who supported Trump's coup attempt are also on the ballot today. The lives of 338,000 people who died of COVID-19 could have been saved if the United States had a universal health care system. That's the finding of a new study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences USA. The study also estimates a universal health care system would have saved the United States $459 billion in health care costs in the year 2020. The study's lead author, Allison Galvani of the Yale School of Public Health, told Scientific American, quote, "Medicare for all would be both an economic stimulus and life-saving transformation of our health care system. It'll cost people far less than the status quo," she said. In other health news, a new study funded by the National Institutes of Health has concluded ivermectin is not effective at treating COVID-19. The study was conducted by researchers at Duke and Vanderbilt universities. The United Kingdom is expected to begin flying asylum seekers to Rwanda today as part of a new immigration policy widely decried by religious leaders and human rights groups. The UK plans to send asylum seekers to Rwanda who have crossed the English Channel into Britain, regardless of where they came from originally. Leaders in the Church of England have condemned what they describe as a, quote, immoral policy that shames Britain. On Monday, Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, also criticized the plan.
The precedent that this creates is catastrophic for a concept that needs to be shared, like asylum. We believe that this is all wrong. This is all wrong, this deal, for so many different reasons. And I can enumerate a few.
In eastern Ukraine, Russian forces have destroyed the last bridge connecting Severodonetsk to other areas under Ukrainian control as heavy fighting continues in the city. Ukraine's calling on Western nations to provide far more in heavy arms. On Monday, Ukraine requested 300 rocket launchers, 500 tanks and 1,000 howitzers. This comes as Russia's begun issuing passports in some areas it's occupying in eastern Ukraine as Russia attempts to solidify its rule in the region. Meanwhile, Russia's accused Ukraine of firing NATO-supplied artillery on a market in a Russia-controlled area of Donetsk, killing three people, including a child. Authorities in India have demolished the homes of several Muslim activists who organized protests last week, triggered by recent anti-Islamic comments made by two members of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's Hindu nationalist BJP party. The demolitions took place in the northern Indian state of Uttar Pradesh. Police also shot dead two teenage Muslim protesters. Hundreds of Muslims have been arrested. The Indian journalist Rana Ayub tweeted on Monday, quote, "The Modi government's never sent a more chilling message to its Muslim minority. Speak up, protest, and you will be jailed, booked for terrorism, your houses demolished, shot in public with no semblance of law and judiciary," she said. A number of Muslim countries have also launched protests over India's treatment of its Muslim population and recent statements by Hindu officials insulting the Prophet Muhammad. Iran suspects Israel is responsible for poisoning two Iranian scientists who recently died within days of each other in separate cities after apparent food poisoning. The New York Times reports one of the scientists worked at an Iranian military research center. The other was a geologist who, according to some press accounts, may have worked at Iran's Natanz nuclear facility. Israel is also believed to be behind last month's drone attack on an Iranian military site that killed a young Iranian engineer who worked for Iran's Ministry of Defense. Over 100 million people are under heat advisories in the United States as an early season heat wave continues to break records from the Southwest to the Gulf Coast to the Great Lakes. Over the weekend, temperatures in Phoenix, Arizona reached 114 degrees Fahrenheit and 109 degrees in Las Vegas, Nevada. In Houston, local officials warned residents to stay inside.
When you have extreme heat, then everyone is a danger. When you suffer heat exhaustion or heat stroke, then your vital organs, your brain suffers damages, and you could die.
This comes as wildfires have forced hundreds of people to evacuate their homes in California, New Mexico, and Arizona. According to the National Interagency Fire Center, firefighters are battling more than 36 uncontained fires. In Montana, record flooding has forced the closing of all 5 entrances to Yellowstone National Park. Roads and bridges in the area have been washed away. Some visitors are stranded in the park following unprecedented rainfall. Flood levels on the Yellowstone River are now beyond record levels. In some areas, the river is 2 feet higher than previous records. Scientists have long warned the climate emergency will lead to an increase in the number and severity of heat waves, wildfires, and storms. In related news, the Nobel Peace Prize laureate Malala Yousafzai joined with youth climate activists Greta Thunberg and Vanessa Nakate on Friday in a protest outside the Swedish parliament. Yousafzai talked about how the climate emergency is impacting girls across the globe.
Due to climate-related events, millions of girls lose their access to schools. Events like droughts and floods impact schools directly. Displacements are caused due to some of these events. And because of that, girls are impacted the most. They're the first ones to drop out of schools and then the last ones to return as well.
In Ohio, Republican Governor Mike DeWine has signed a bill to make it easier for teachers and staff to carry guns in school. Under the new law, teachers and staff will need just 24 hours of training, down from 700 hours. Teacher unions and the Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio have opposed the new law. The U.S. Supreme Court issued 2 rulings on Monday, which will make it much harder for people in immigration custody to challenge their detention. In one case, the court ruled non-citizens who've been held for more than 6 months in immigration custody are not entitled to bond hearings. Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote the majority opinion. In a second related case, the court ruled jailed immigrants cannot come together to file class action lawsuits to demand periodic bond hearings. But in this case, Sotomayor wrote a partial dissent, noting, quote, today's holding risks depriving many vulnerable non-citizens of any meaningful opportunity to protect their rights. Police officers in Idaho have reportedly received death threats after arresting 31 members of the white supremacist organization known as the Patriot Front, who are accused of plotting to start a riot at a gay pride event in the city of Coeur d'Alene. The white supremacists were found packed into the back of a U-Haul truck armed with riot gear, including a smoke grenade and shields. On Monday, the Patriot Front members were released on bail, which was set at $300 per person. A group of more than 300 doctors from around the world are calling on UK Home Secretary Priti Patel to block the extradition of Julian Assange. In a letter to Patel, the group known as Doctors for Assange say the WikiLeaks founder suffered a mini-stroke last October and that his overall health is continuing to deteriorate in prison. The doctors write, quote, the extradition of a person with such compromised health, moreover, is medically and ethically unacceptable, they said. Patel is expected to rule on Assange's extradition by Friday. And there are conflicting reports out of Brazil about the search for the missing British journalist Dom Phillips and the Brazilian indigenous expert Bruno Araújo Pereira. The pair went missing over a week ago in one of Brazil's most remote areas of the Amazon. On Monday, the family of Phillips said they were notified by the Brazilian embassy in London that 2 bodies tied to a tree were found during the search operation. However, the federal police in Brazil and indigenous activists aiding the search have said no bodies have been found. The search is focused on a remote area where authorities found personal items belonging to the 2 men on Saturday. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Monday, the House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol held its second public hearing, with 2 more scheduled this week, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Democracy Now! Is bringing you the hearings live at democracynow.org. The Washington Post reports there will likely be 8 hearings this month, with a possible final hearing in September, just ahead of November's midterm elections. Monday's hearing was briefly delayed when one of the witnesses, former Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien, pulled out of testifying live when his wife went into labor. In addition to becoming a father, Stepien is also currently serving as an advisor to the Trump-endorsed congressional candidate running against the committee's Republican vice chair, Liz Cheney, in Wyoming. Video testimony was aired Monday of numerous Trump White House insiders saying there was no basis to Donald Trump's claims the election was stolen. The committee also laid out how Trump used lies about election fraud to raise $250 million from his supporters for an election defense fund that did not exist. This is part of committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney's opening remarks.
First, you will hear firsthand testimony that the president's campaign advisors urged him to await the counting of votes and not to declare victory on election.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be mainly sunny with a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will be the risk of a thunderstorm and a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be showers and a high of 24 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be mainly cloudy with a high of 20 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly sunny with a high of 20 degrees Celsius. Monday will be sunny with a high of 21 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 22 degrees Celsius.
And now for some news you can use. The community-based music festival Swoney Peril Popolo began last week, featuring experimental songs in many genres. The festival is at La Sala Rosa on Saint-Laurent, and continues until June 29th. For more information, visit suoniperilpopolo.org. And the Festival des Musiciens du Monde starts this Thursday. This year's program blends the sounds of Afghanistan, Brazil, Japan, and more, and includes free family workshops. The festival runs June 16th to 19th in the Church Saint-Enfant-Jésus on Saint Dominique. For more information, visit centredesmusiciensdumonde.com. And Montreal's Mural Festival is here. International graffiti artists have transformed Saint-Laurent with vibrant wall-sized artworks. You can check them out from now until next Sunday, June 19th. For more information, visit muralfestival.com.
Chard Chenier, and you're listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT.
Smiling when the hands are high. to show me the door. Can't tell myself I'm right. My hands are tied, I'm in this fight. All alone I make the choice, not recognizing my own voice. Tell myself I'm right, not wrong. A broken mind for much too long. I say that I'm not hurt. Now let me take back my own word. Broken silence of the mind, just hoping there's a way to find.
Magnetic ties. melts away. With you I'm sound, it's on display. Lookie, I'm feeling you. I know you feel it. Instantly it was true. Wanna reveal it. Standing in front of me. One look can get it. Now every part of me needs to benefit. Lookie.
People, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really you can listen to it anywhere you want.
And we mean anywhere. You can listen to it while you're waiting for your dress to get tailored.
You can listen to it while you're on your break in work.
You can listen to it while you're waiting for your popcorn to pop in that microwave.
You can listen to it while you're doing push-ups in the gym.
You can listen to it anywhere. The whole point of this podcast is that we answer the mysteries of the world, the questions that you've always had but never quite went as far as looking up.
This is a bite-sized podcast perfect for everyone who says they don't have time to listen to podcasts. And we've answered all kinds of questions. Questions like, why do we fall in love?
Is there a correct way to face in the shower?
Why do we have a dominant hand?
What exactly is an itch?
Why do we eat three-course meals and loads more?
I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind
while you wash your sexy behind. And this week is no different.
This week is no different. Well, it is a little bit different because we're not answering a listener's question. we're asking my question, and that question is,
why do we have leap years? So as I said, this question was sent in by the second best host of this podcast, Mr. Mark Solera.
We're one sentence into this podcast and you're already throwing shade.
You grade the host of this podcast. Who's first and who's second?
I'm never going to say that I'm better than you. Am I? Really? Okay, listen, a lot of the questions that we get sent in are anatomical, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Keep them coming. But it's nice to answer a non-bodily related question from time to time.
To be honest, I'm just happy that we've put an end to the poo-related questions.
How long is our poo amnesty going on for? Surely we have to maybe lift it up.
If you're new to In the Shower, in our first 10 episodes, we answered 3 poo-related questions. And we had to actually put an amnesty on poo-related questions because they just kept coming in. But I suppose we could officially reopen registrations for those poo-related questions.
That's it. Open the floodgates.
Terrible choice of phrase, Marcus.
Sorry. Okay, back to this week's question, which isn't poo-related. So, woohoo!
So why do we have leap years? I suppose before we kick into why we have leap years, we better do a bit of an explainer of what exactly a leap year is.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, in a normal year, we have how many days, Marcus?
365.
Excellent. You listened in skill. So that is the case in every traditional year. We have 365 days. But every 4 years, we get an extra day. And that, my friend, is called a leap year.
It's an extra day added at the end of February, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So February traditionally has 28 days, but in a leap year, it has 29 days. And I don't know if you guys learned the rhyme in school, but in Ireland, we kind of have a jingle to remember. Do you remember? Do you remember it?
I actually never learnt the rhyme. I know it's just like, I always kind of saw it as, you know, random months with numbers after them.
Yeah, it kind of goes something like 30 days had September, April, June, and November. All the rest of 29 except for February, which has 28 except in the leap year 29. No, that's...
Well, obviously you're getting an absolutely fantastic education in Multifarnham.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so we have established that a leap year occurs every 4 years and we have an extra day at the end of February. But why do we have them in the first place?
Well, when you look at what a year is, it's another lap around the sun. So mm-hmm. Is it astrology based?
Yeah, it is. So the most widely used calendar around the world is the Gregorian calendar, which measures 365 days to be the Earth's orbit around the sun.
In 365 days, the Earth is back exactly where it started and it can start a new year, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the precision of those numbers and the orbits has to be so, so precise because it's essential that each year starts at the exact time every year in order for our seasons to fall on the exact same date every year.
So then if everything is exact and, you know, has to be exact for the seasons and everything, then where does this extra little random day come from?
Well, when the Gregorians did their calculations, they found that it didn't take exactly 365 days for the Earth to orbit the sun, but rather 365.24 days.
So 365 and a quarter days, or just under a quarter days.
Yeah, more or less. So an extra day every 4 years is added on to keep the seasons synchronized with solar seasons, you know?
That makes so much sense. Like, what are the chances that Earth takes exactly 365 days to the hour to orbit the sun? It'd be way too specific. So it's actually just a tiny bit over that.
Yeah, that's it. So the Gregorians decided that every 4 years we had to have an extra day. But kind of between then and now, the Romans messed about with the calendar a little bit, or so the story goes.
Like, did they decide that the Gregorians were wrong?
It was more so that the Romans kind of tried to take control of the calendar. Again, I'm no historian here, but I read this in a few places and it's too good to not let you guys know. So Julius Caesar introduced the Julian calendar in 46 BC, which consists of 365 days and 366 days in every fourth year.
So exactly the same as the Gregorians.
Yes, exactly. However, in his calendar, February had 30 days and August had 29. But this is the best bit. A few years down the line, when Caesar Augustus became emperor, he changed this so that his month had the same amount as Caesar's.
So basically, the month where they were born had the same kind of dates.
Yeah, so they wanted their birth months to have exactly the same dates, which is kind of cool. But this didn't last long, and in 1582, the UK switched back to the Gregorian calendar and kind of worked out that the Julian calendar didn't actually reflect the actual time the Earth takes to orbit the Sun, our tropical year.
So a couple of hundred years down the line, obviously there's going to be a bit of a change around there if the days are getting jumped around. Where does the Julian calendar lie in comparison to the Gregorian? Are they on the same day?
Yeah, so like those tiny decimal points over hundreds and hundreds of years are obviously going to add up. And the difference between the Julian and the Gregorian calendar was enough so that now the Julian calendar is lagging behind the Gregorian calendar by about 13 days.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, do you think there's a kind of a hipster movement anywhere where it's like, sorry, all our office hours actually operate in the Julian calendar?
Yeah, I don't know where actually still uses the Julian calendar. I probably should have looked that up, but I don't know if it's used anywhere in the world. But
it's a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit mad.
So obviously, as you said, there's, you know, all of those accumulated tiny little decimal points over the course of hundreds of years. In another few hundred years, are they going to have to reevaluate the Gregorian calendar and make the year a bit shorter or something?
They're going to have to reevaluate it in some way because the seasons are going to kind of come out of line. In thousands upon thousands of years, if it's out by 13 days every now and then, obviously winter is going to mold into spring and so on, and the seasons won't be in line anymore. But it's actually really similar with the Gregorian calendar because the Earth doesn't orbit the Sun in exactly 365 and a quarter days. There's a lot of decimal points after that, which add up over thousands of years.
So how does that transpire?
Every 3,236 years, we will be out by a day.
Oh, but we won't be alive for that, will we?
Marcus, you never know. We could be the ones that defy the odds and live forever.
I feel really bad for the planet if we're the two chosen people to stick around forever.
Episode 34,917 of In the Shell with Taz and Marcus.
I bet at that time we'd just be answering like the deepest philosophical questions, like, and now we are answering the meaning of life. Episode 3,600,941. Why? Just like simple, just questions like that. We'll become these like all-knowing beings. Anyway, listen. So basically, that's really interesting that, you know,
it's a very simple answer. The Earth doesn't orbit the Sun in exactly 365 days, but rather a quarter of a day extra. So every 4 years, we just make it easier and add on another day.
I just love as well that there was like literally a calendar that was used for hundreds of years in the world that just didn't work, but it was the result of some lad's ego.
Yeah, well, I feel like that happens all over the world.
Yeah, just mansplaining the date to everyone.
Okay, before we close up this episode, we have to give a little bit of time to those leap babies out there. Anyone who was born on the 29th of February only has a birthday every 4 years, which amounts to about 4.8 million people worldwide.
It's not a lot, is it, actually?
It's not, actually. It's really not.
Oh. Any final leap facts to end the episode?
I do. So the 29th of February is traditionally known as the one day of the year where a woman can propose to a man.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder how many women like take advantage of that just because they can take advantage of it.
I don't really know, because it's like way back when it was obviously extremely rare for a woman to propose to a man. And in the modern age, it's obviously becoming more common.
Mm-hmm.
But that was traditionally the date where it was all G, baby.
So what you're saying is you want to invite me to dinner on the 29th of February.
I really hope the next leap year isn't for 4 years.
So where did that tradition come from?
Well, it actually is a tradition that began in Ireland. So the legend goes, the legend goes that in 5th century Ireland, St. Bridget complained to St. Patrick about women having to wait too long for men to propose, to which St. Patrick allowed women one day to propose on February 29th.
Go on, Bridget.
What a legend.
Absolutely.
Shall we have one more final leap fact?
I think so.
Okay, I'm going to get you to read this one because you're half French.
Mm-hmm. The French call leapfrog saut mouton, which translates literally as leap sheep.
That has absolutely nothing to do with leap years, but I just wanted to hear you say leap sheep.
Leap sheep.
Okay, now quicker.
Leap sheep.
Okay, now say leap sheep 5 times in a row.
Leap sheep, leap sheep, leap sheep. Boom, 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 boom,
Well, there you have it. Another episode, another question debunked by Taz and Marcus.
You know what? My curiosity has been generally scratched. Also, shout out to St. Bridget.
Yeah, what an absolute legend.
Genuinely. I love that, like, St. Bridget and St. Patrick hung out. Do you think, like, they were walking down the street and people were like, oh, here come the fucking saints again? Like, or somebody just like, maybe that's where the song, Oh When the Saints Come Marching In, comes from. Like,
to a
just
runner.
When they'd walk into a pub, it's like, oh God, the saints are marching in again. Probably going to want to get some free beers.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. If you are new to the podcast, we have got tons more episodes that you can binge listen to. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox, Deezer, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It means the world to us when you send us messages saying that you like what we're doing. Thank you so much. If you can, please recommend In the Shower with Taz and Marcus to your friends, your family, maybe even your enemies if you want them to learn more stuff and become better people and become your best friends. How cool would that be? Solving world conflict through the power of bite-sized shower podcasts. So please recommend us to everyone you know.
We do this podcast for free for you, the listeners, so we would love if you scratched our back while we scratch yours and recommend us to your friends and family.
Scratch, scratch.
Scratch, scratch. A few thank yous to end off the episode. As always, thank you, Alan and Paddy and Rebecca and everyone in the Head Stuff studio for all they do to help In the Shower. We love you guys very much.
Big love to all the Head Stuff dem. Massive love as well to Florence Robinson, our wonderful graphic designer who came up with our awesome little cartoon faces.
We love you, Flo.
We love you, Flo.
A final thank you to Dave Gertzman for our fantastic music that bring Marcus and I more joy than we could put into words, to be honest. Next week's episode,
what is it?
Since you asked today's episode's question, I only feel it's fair that I get one of my questions debunked.
Equality and all that?
Exactly. And it's going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower.
So in the meantime, keep scrubbing.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
'Cause I know that you're hurting too. why you won't even let me help you. But baby, you don't see the fight in me. Do you know why I'm waiting? Cause I can't give up on us. That you still love me, I have to trust. But baby, you don't see the faith in me. I want your loving eye. I need your loving eye. I want your loving eye. I need your loving eye. I want your loving eye. I need your loving eye. I want your loving eye. I need your loving eye. And all I ever wanna do is to kick it with you. All them other guys can't be what you mean to me. Say, all I ever wanna do is to kick it with you. All them other guys can't be what you mean to me.
Yeah. You are tuned to CKUT 90.3 in Montreal.
Swanee Parolpopolo is back, and in real life for its 22nd edition. All the sights, sounds, and sensations of live music. After 2 years of online adaptation, Swanee is filling up the month of June with liberated music of all genres. Over 45 events and 90 participating artists performing indoors, outdoors, streamed for maximum accessibility. Record and book launches, workshops, a puppet show, a satellite Swanee happening in Wakefield, Quebec, of all places, and, of course, much more.